feel somewhat out of place here this morning, being the only one with his suit on. Everyone else casually, wait, where's Bill? Oh, there he is. I knew I wouldn't be totally out of place here. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning will come from Matthew's Gospel. And we'll be reading from chapter 9 of Matthew's Gospel. We'll begin at verse 35, and we'll read through chapter 10, verse 16. So let us at this time listen to God's word to us. And I will be reading from the Revised Standard Version. I realize that there are different versions there in your seats, but I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every infirmity. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, charging them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and preach as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without pay, give without pay. Take no gold, nor silver, nor copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay with him until you depart. As you enter the house, salute it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it shall be more tolerable in the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." The word of the Lord. Eternal God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I want to take a few minutes before we go out into our community to talk about going out. Our text this morning is a sending out kind of text, one that's not only appropriate for our activities that we have planned here for this morning, but appropriate for all times, because the church is an apostolic community, a community that's called out into the world to proclaim the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The early church, following the example of our Lord, was not a sequestered community that expected people to come to it. But it went out into the highways and the byways where people were living their lives. Sometimes they went to the synagogues and the common places of worship, but oftentimes they engaged people in the streets where they met them. And it's there that they proclaimed to people the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, of course, an apostle is someone who is sent out. That's what the word apostle means, someone who is sent out. And it's quite interesting that Jesus doesn't send any professional clergy types. He doesn't send anybody with any MDivs. He doesn't send any DMins. But instead, he sends ordinary people, tax collectors and fishermen. These are the people that Jesus sends out. These are the people that Jesus calls to be his original disciples. Now, there are some people in the Bible who are professional religious types, like the Apostle Paul. And Paul was plays an important role in propagating the gospel. But even Paul counted all of his training as something not to be taken seriously. What was important for Paul was the fact that he was called by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all of us are called to be apostles. You don't need to be a professionally trained clergy person or a professionally trained person to be sent out into the world to do the work that God has called us to do. And so it's interesting in our text this morning that the disciples that Jesus calls are all ordinary people, plain people, fishermen, and tax collectors. Amen. But even though they're plain people, ordinary people, Jesus doesn't leave them without any instruction. Indeed, he tells them how they are to go out into the world. Not only does Jesus give them the message that they are to bring out into the world, but he also gives them the method that they are to use, as well as the attitude that they are called to have. And so I want to take a few moments this morning to talk a little bit about both the message and the method and the attitude that Jesus calls his disciples to have. First of all, the message that Jesus proclaimed and the message that Jesus tells his disciples to proclaim is really quite simple. It was a message about the kingdom. Jesus proclaimed and he tells his disciples to proclaim that God's kingdom is coming. The coming of the kingdom means that one day God is finally going to have God's way in the world. It means that things are finally going to be ran the way God wants things to be ran. Amen. One day the world is going to be just like God intended it to be when God created the world all alone. But the disciples are told not only to proclaim the coming of the kingdom, but they're told to proclaim that the kingdom of God is already at hand. The kingdom of God is already in your midst. That's what they proclaimed. The kingdom of God is already here. It's already in your midst. It's already around you. And Jesus was able to proclaim that message because Jesus was the kingdom of God in miniature. If you want to know what the kingdom of God is going to be like, all you have to do is listen to Jesus. All you have to do is look at Jesus and see what Jesus did. Jesus had the spirit and the power of God's kingdom all over him. Amen. When Jesus healed sick people, he was doing the work of the kingdom. He was saying that this is what the kingdom of God is going to look like. When the kingdom of God is here, there's not going to be any sick people. When Jesus fed the hungry, he said this is what the kingdom of God is going to be like. In the kingdom of the world, you know, there are hungry people, but when God has God's way in the world, there's not going to be any hungry people. It's not going to be any poor people. It's not going to be any broken-hearted people. There's not going to be any people who are dispossessed. But when God has God's way in the world, this is what it's going to be like. And so everything that Jesus did, he was trying to show his disciples and trying to show people what things are going to look like when God finally has God's way, when heaven and earth come together and this world is pervaded with the presence and the power and the spirit of God. So Jesus was the kingdom of God in miniature because Jesus had the spirit upon him. And that same spirit is still blowing in this world. And we, the church, ever since Pentecost, we now have that spirit. That same spirit that was on Jesus is now blowing in our midst. And it's what empowers us to be able to go out into the world and to proclaim that the kingdom of God is not only coming, but it's already at hand. If you want to experience what the kingdom of God is all about, come and join this community, this spirit-filled community that can tell you what the kingdom of God is all about. Come and experience this community where we love one another. Come and experience this community where we take care of one another. Come and experience this community where the barriers that divide people are broken down. If you want to understand what the kingdom of God is going to be like, come and join us. Come and join this special Christ-filled, spirit-led community. Because this is what the kingdom is going to be all about. Yes, that's our message. Yes, we say this world is a broken world. Yes, this world is filled with injustice. Yes, this world is filled with violence. Yes, this world is filled with cruelty, but there's a new world coming. There's a new kingdom coming. There's a new dispensation coming. God's kingdom is coming. There's a new world coming. And if you want to be a part of that kingdom, then come and join us. Come and join this community as we show you what the kingdom is all about, as we live the kingdom in our midst. Jesus tells his disciples to proclaim that good news. And people will either accept it or they will reject it. You know, that's the choice. You can accept this new community. You can be a part of this new community. You can begin to live into God's future right now. Or you can reject it. You know, several years ago, about 20 years ago, I remember a politician running for president. He was up in New Hampshire. He was at a dockyard, and he was booed by some of the dock workers, and the politician undaunted said, "Look, you know, I'm going to win this thing. I'm eventually going to win, and so if you want to be a winner, you can come and join me. If you want to be a winner, you can latch on to what I'm doing. You can latch on to my campaign." And that's what we say. That's what the church says when we go out into the world. God is eventually going to win this thing. God is eventually going to have God's way in the world. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's eventually going to have his way in the world. And if you want to be a winner, if you want to be a part of what God is doing, if you want to be a part of God's kingdom, then you better join us. Come and join us, because we represent life. We can show you what the future is going to be all about. We can show you what God's kingdom is going to be all about. So Jesus tells us to go out and to proclaim the good news of the coming of the kingdom, that God's kingdom is coming. There's a new world coming in our midst. But the early disciples not only had a message, but they also had a method. They had a way that they were to go out into the world, a way that they were told to proceed. And Jesus tells them to go to people who are especially needy. He tells them to go to where people have no hope, to go to people who are predisposed to wanting a new world. You know, that those who like things the way that they are, they're not necessarily predisposed to want to change. If you're comfortable and you like the way the world is, you're not sure about this talk about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is all right, but you're not quite sure you want it to come now because you're comfortable. You like things the way that they are. If you're not sick, you don't need a doctor. But Jesus says, go to the people who are needy. Go to the people who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Go to the people who can't feel at home in this world anymore. Go to the people who are sick. Go to the people who are infirmed. Go to the people who are marginalized. Go to the people who are brokenhearted. Go to people who are feeling bad, who are isolated and dispossessed. Go to those people and there proclaim the good news that there is a new world that is coming. Amen. Go to people who are desperately seeking good news, who are seeking an alternative kind of world. You know, whenever I walk the neighborhood or the community, I try to find out what would be good news to people living in this community. What is it that would be good news? You know, if you're hungry, we know what good news is. Good news is a filled stomach. You know, if you're homeless, good news is having a roof over your head. If you're jobless, good news is having a job. So what would be good news to the people in this community? The disciples are called to go out and not simply to proclaim that the kingdom is coming, but they're called to go out and to bear witness to the coming of the kingdom by ministering to people's needs. Jesus tells them to go heal. Go heal people. Heal people who are sick. Heal people who are infirmed. Heal people who have leprosy. Raise the dead. Go out and touch people's lives. Associate people's needs with the love of Christ. Don't just go out and proclaim that the kingdom is coming, but show the power of the kingdom. Show the power of God's Spirit by addressing people where they are and tending to their needs. Amen. You know, people are sophisticated. They're not just going to, they understand that talk is cheap. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes in the church, we talk a lot about love, and we talk a lot about community, and we talk a lot about taking care of people, but talk is cheap. Jesus says it's important that you live that out. Right. Don't just talk about it when you meet people, but live it out. Embrace them, love them, care for them, let them know that they're loved by God. Look after them. Find out where they're hurting and find out how you can relate the needs, their particular needs, to the love of Christ. So go out. There's a particular method. Go out and relate the gospel to where people are hurting and where people need to be assured that they are loved and cared for, that there's a God of love and compassion and mercy. Show them that. Don't just tell them that. There's one more thing, of course, that Jesus talks about. He not only gives his disciples a message, and he not only gives them a method, but he also tells them that there's an attitude that they need to have. You know, attitude accounts for a lot, and sometimes as God's people, we don't always have the right kind of attitude whenever we engage people. But the text tells us that Jesus looked over the crowd, and he had compassion for the people. Oftentimes, either consciously or unconsciously, we often bring a critical and judgmental spirit to people that we meet. But the Bible says that Jesus had compassion. He didn't judge people. He wasn't critical of people. He didn't wonder, why come these people can't straighten their lives out? Why can't they get their lives together? What's wrong with them? He didn't say anything like that. Instead, he had compassion. Amen. For people. You know, compassion is a deep awareness of the suffering of others, coupled with a deep desire to relieve people's suffering. And this is what Jesus has for the crowds. He has compassion because they are like sheep without a shepherd. They're stumbling around all over the place. Now, of course, in our modern sensibilities, we don't like to be associated with sheep. You know, we like to think of ourselves as rational human beings in control. Nobody leads us astray. Nobody can lead us astray. But we know that human beings can be quite sheep-like. All we have to do is watch television or watch the advertisers who lead us around like sheep. They get us to buy whatever they want us to buy by singing a jingle or whatever it is. We are often sheep-like. The fact is, if you don't have God centered in your life, you're easily led astray, and there are lots of people out there who are easily led astray. Amen. You know, some people are led astray because they believe that money will bring them salvation, and so they spend a great deal of their time trying to get it. They'll do anything for it. They'll lie for it. They'll steal for it. They'll gamble for it. They'll spend all their money playing the lotto or whatever it is, trying to get it. They believe that money will bring salvation, and they're led astray by it. Some people are led astray by their desire to be loved and accepted. They want to be loved and accepted, and they're led astray by people who tell them that you can be loved and accepted if you're just sexy enough, if you're young enough. You know, you can be loved. People will love you. They'll accept you. All you have to do is acquired this kind of posture, be sexy and wear the right kind of clothes and be attractive to men or be attractive to women or whatever it is. You can be loved and accepted, and people are led astray like that. You'll see people like that as we are on our walk. They believe that to be loved and accepted means to be sexy or to show off their body. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus says that we need to have compassion for people because they're like sheep. They're led astray by all kind of things. Some people are led astray because they have a deep pain and hurt deep down inside of their hearts. A deep pain and hurt. And they believe that the only way that you can address that deep pain and hurt is by medicating it with alcohol and drugs. You'll see people like that too. But Jesus doesn't judge them. Jesus isn't critical of them. Jesus knows how easily we human beings can be led astray. Jesus doesn't have a critical or judgmental attitude. Sometimes we have that critical and judgmental attitude. Sometimes I have it. You know, why can't that person get his life together? What's wrong with you? Why are you out here in front of this store begging for money? Get your life together. But Jesus doesn't respond like that. Jesus has compassion for people. And Jesus wants us to have compassion for people as well. Compassion for those who are led astray in our world. There's one more thing that we learned from our text this morning. And that is not only does Jesus give them a message and a method and an attitude, but Jesus also gives them the posture that they are to undertake as they go out into the community. And that posture is vulnerability. We don't like to talk about being vulnerable in our culture. We don't like to be vulnerable. We like to be in charge. We want to be in control. We want to be independent. We don't want to be vulnerable. But doing ministry means you're going to have to be vulnerable. You're going to be vulnerable to people's attitudes. You're going to be vulnerable to people's prejudices. You're going to be vulnerable. That's why Jesus tells his disciples, you know, don't try to be in control when you go out there in your community. Don't try to cover all the bases, you know, only take a few things. Don't try to take extra food or extra clothing. You're going to have to depend on me. You're going to have faith in me and faith in the people who I send you out to. You're going to be vulnerable. Doing ministry means that we are vulnerable, and that's not always comfortable for us, especially those of us living in the United States. We like to be in control. We like to be on top of everything, but we are called to be vulnerable. And Jesus says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Therefore, you're going to have to be wise. You're going to have to be wise as serpents. But also, you have to be innocent like doves. You know, sometimes we want to be all wise. You know, we want to be calculating. We want to be able to figure it out. But to be all wise, you know, sometimes leads to cunning. You know, we can be very cunning sometimes and calculating. Jesus says, be wise. Understand what you're getting into. Be discerning. Understand that there's people out there that might try to use you. Understanding that there's people out there who's going to see you coming and they've got their own plans for how they are going to address you. Be wise. Know what's going on. Be, you know, street smart. Understand a little bit about what's going on. But also be innocent. That is, don't be calculating. Be innocent. Have the interest of the people that you are called to serve. Have their best interest at heart. Understand that you are called because they need to hear the good news. Amen. So be innocent. It's not about you. It's not about us. But it's about the people that we are called to serve, that vast expanse of humanity that's undergoing all kinds of difficulties and problems. We're going to meet all kinds of people out there in the street. I get all kinds of people calling up on the telephone here, people that have all kinds of problems. Some of them are wanting to use the church for what they can get, and other people have genuine problems. You're going to meet all kinds. But Jesus says, we're going to be vulnerable. But in the midst of that vulnerability, be wise as serpents. And be innocent as doves. Jesus tells his disciples and he tells us that the harvest is ready. Come on. Harvest is ready. There's people out there that need to hear good news. There's people out there that want to hear good news. There's people out there that's going to be responsive to genuine good news. They tried everything else and they know nothing else works. They tried everything else, but now they're looking for a city whose maker and author is God. They're looking for a new world. They're looking for a world of mercy and compassion. And they know that that doesn't come from the world. They've heard the rhetoric of the world. They've listened to the people of the world. They've listened and tried Republicans, and they've listened and they tried Democrats. They've listened and they tried conservatives, and they've listened and they tried liberals. They've listened to the world, and they know that that doesn't work. And so they're looking for something else. They want a new world. They want a world of love and compassion and mercy. They want a world where the poor and the vulnerable are taken care of. They want a world that is suffused with God. They want that kind of world. And Jesus says that the people, the harvest out there is plentiful. It's ready. What's needed are laborers. Amen. People who are willing to go out there. People who are willing to be filled with the Spirit. People who are willing to bring the message of the kingdom to a broken world. People who are willing to go out to where people have need. People who are filled with love and compassion. People who are willing to be vulnerable. People who are willing to be apostles sent out into the world as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was sent out into the world to proclaim God's love and mercy and salvation for the whole world. Amen. That's a part of our vocation here this morning as we go out into this community proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord and that there is a new world coming. Amen.
Amen.